So this morning we will continue our fellowship on Zion. It's not on? Hello, hello, hello. I think I can hear you. I can hear myself. So yes, should be on. Yeah, praise the Lord. As Christians today, now that we are all saved, we all should have a goal, as it was shared this morning. Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. So Paul was not a person, after he got saved, passively waiting for the Lord to come. He was very active. He was pressing on toward the goal for the prize. Yeah. If Paul is pressing on actively for the prize, then for all of us, we should all much more be pressing on. As students, when we go to school, we have a goal. I hope. James, you have a goal? Yeah, to finish college, hopefully, in 4 years. And hopefully you get mostly A's, so you can be a good student. Right? At work, for most of us who are working, we also have a goal at our workplace. Yeah, we have a quota. We have a goal to meet, sometimes a monthly goal, a quarterly goal, a yearly goal. But as Christians, it seems like all we need to do is get saved, and then we wait for the Lord's coming. No, that should not be the case. We all need to have a goal. So the question is, what is our goal? According to Revelation 1, verse 6, our destiny is to be kings and priests. So this should be our goal as we are believers now, as we are Christians now. And in Revelation 14, verse 1, says, then I look and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. Yeah, this is a wonderful verse. Our goal today should be to stand with him, with the lamb, on Mount Zion when the Lord returns as first fruits, right? So praise the Lord for Mount Zion. As we heard this morning, Mount Zion is the city of our great King. And it's very good if we are in the book of Hebrews, we will see Hebrews is a book also, as well as Matthew, that talks about Christ as our King and his kingdom. I know a few years ago we went through the book of Hebrews, and we were all very impressed with Christ being our heavenly high priest. He is also, in this book, our king. In chapter 1, verse 3, I'll just read them to you. It says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and uphold all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Yeah, this is a wonderful picture. Christ not only purged our sins on the cross, that's not the goal, right? But he resurrected and he ascended and he is sitting on the throne the right hand of the majesty on high. This is a picture of our glorious King, and we need to see this. Christ today, he is sitting on the throne. And the purpose is not just for him to sit by himself, but the purpose is that we could all be brought together with him when he returns. Yeah. Verse 8 of the same chapter, but to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, our brother Ronnie read this verse this morning. Throne is where God rules and reigns. Right? This is a picture of Zion, where Christ is sitting on the throne, and he is ruling and reigning. And a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Yeah. So when we see Christ sitting on the throne, he has a scepter. A scepter is to rule and to reign, right? And this is a scepter of righteousness. And this is a scepter of his kingdom. Yeah, Hebrews is very much a book about Christ as our King and his kingdom. Yes. This verse concerning your throne, O God, is forever and ever, reminds me very much of another verse in Daniel chapter 7, verse 18. Daniel chapter 7, verse 18 says, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Yeah. So if you put these two verses together, not only is Christ our King will have the throne forever and ever, but even the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. This is our wonderful goal. This is a wonderful calling for all of us believers. And we praise the Lord for such a verse for us to aim. Yeah. Verse 13 of Hebrews 1 again says, but to which of the angels has he ever said? Our brother brought out this verse this morning. Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Our King is not just sitting on the throne, but he has a purpose because he wants to conquer his enemies. There is a spiritual battle and a warfare going on. We have enemies. Yeah, God has enemies. Right? Until I make your enemies your footstool. In the meeting hall here in Fountain Valley, some of the sisters has that blue thing that's called a footstool. God wants to make all of his enemies his footstool. Yeah. A useful thing. Yeah. And this is God's plan and purpose for all of us, together with him, to bind his enemy. In Hebrews chapter 2, we also read this morning in verse 6. What is man? This is Psalm quotation from Psalm 8, that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him. You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with honor and glory and set him over the works of your hands. This is God's purpose in creating man in Genesis chapter 1. We were reminded this morning. Adam failed, but Christ came. He is this man that's in Psalm chapter 8. He was tempted. He was tested. He was tried, yet he was victorious. He is now the man in the glory. He is sitting on the throne. Now he is fully qualified to bring all of us together with him into glory. And we know this in Hebrews 2, verse 10. It says, "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory." Yeah. "And to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." Yes. Praise the Lord for such a verse. Right? The Lord doesn't want to be sitting by himself as the man in the glory. He also wants to bring us all into glory together with him. So today he is the captain of our salvation. Why do we need a captain? Because we are in a fight. We are in a battle. And we have a captain who is leading the way, and we are following him to defeat all of his enemies. In verse 14 of the same chapter, says, "Inasmuch as then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise share in the same, that through death he might destroy him who have the power of death, that is the devil." Yeah. We Christians appreciate the Lord's cross. But our realization is only that on the cross, he died for us to cleanse us and forgiven us of all of our sins. But he did much more than that. It says here, through death, he destroyed him who have the power of death. That is the devil. And he released those who, through the fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Praise the Lord for the Lord's wonderful work on the cross. Right? Sin is bad. We know that. But death is worse. Right? But the Lord, through his death, has destroyed him who have the power of death. Yeah. And this is all for us to experience him as our king, that we all may be able to be perfected. Amen. Yeah. In the book of Hebrews, because our destiny is to be kings and priests, there is a person here named Melchizedek. You remember, right? In Hebrews 5:6. Says, as he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Yeah. I appreciate this person very much these days because he is both a king and a priest. And he only appeared briefly there in Genesis with Abraham. And then he was never mentioned again until here in the book of Hebrews. He has this dual status. He is a king of peace, king of righteousness, and he is also the priest of the Most High God. It's a wonderful example what the Lord wants us all to be, because he was such a one. Christ is the reality of the Melchizedek. Amen. Yes. Therefore, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20, it tells us, where the forerunner has entered for us, that is Jesus, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is the high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Yes. Wonderful. Yeah. This is all for his kingdom, and this is all for Zion. And may the Lord help us to see this. In Hebrews 1, chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, I'll read them again just to you. For this Melchizedek, the king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Yeah. And this is a very unique person because he says he is without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but may, like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Right? The priesthood, according to the order of Aaron, each of the priests lives for so long, and then they die. Then you need another priest. And then that priest dies, then you need another priest. But in this priesthood, according to the order of Melchizedek, he lives forever. He has the power of an endless life. Because God's kingdom is a kingdom that's eternal, that will never end. We read that in Daniel, forever and ever and forever and ever. Right? Today, we as believers, we need to experience Christ as this power of endless life. To overcome all the death within us, that there will be no more death in Zion. Amen. Zion is the city of the living God. Amen. Right? God is a living God, and we are his saints, and we all need to have this wonderful life. Yeah. Hebrews 7:3, who has come not according to the law of a fleshy commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. Yes. And in Hebrews 8, verse 1, it tells us, now this is the main point of the things which we are saying. In case we missed the main point, the writer is reminding us, we have such a high priest. He is a priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So he is also a king. Right? He is both a priest and a king. And he is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. Now, this is important. Today, God is building a kingdom. And this kingdom cannot be built by man. We know this because in Matthew chapter 16, after Peter saw the vision that Christ is the anointed one, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Right? So this is the problem. For 2,000 years, Christians are trying to build their own church. And it fails one after another after another. What we fail to realize is only Christ himself can build this church. This kingdom is not erected by man, but by God. Right? It's not made by man's hands. It's not of this creation. Yeah. This is what Zion is. It's a heavenly kingdom. And so in Hebrews 12, we come to Mount Zion. Verse 22, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Yes. It's not the earthly Jerusalem. It's a heavenly Jerusalem. to an innumerable company of angels, to the, not the General Assembly, okay, that's like the Communist Party, to the festal gathering, yeah, and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Yeah, such a wonderful picture of Zion. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Yeah. We're not trying to expound Hebrews 12. This is the vision that the Lord needs to show us. And may the Lord give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to see this. And finally, Zion is an unshakable kingdom, right? We see this in this chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Remember, it's not just Christ as our king, but he needs a kingdom. And we, as the church, should be the kingdom of God on earth today. We are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken when the Lord returns. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Yes. It's a wonderful picture of Zion. Right? So Zion is a heavenly vision that cannot be explained by man's vocabulary. It is a vision that we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation to see it. And once you see it, this vision will capture your heart. And it should control your living every day. We will have an inward consciousness. And we should have an inward consciousness that we have a king dwelling inside of us today. Amen. He should be in our heart. He wants to rule firstly, not hourly, but firstly in our being, to take over every part of our heart and our soul, to save our soul to the uttermost. And together with all the saints and all the churches in Zion, we should be his kingdom on earth today. If we have such a realization, we will not be easily shaken by any outward circumstances that happens around us. Oh, this trouble. Oh, that trouble. We're not shaken because God's kingdom is an unshakable kingdom. A month ago, I end up with shingles in my body. It's painful. Then I realize, Lord, I want to experience you. Whether I have shingles or no shingles, I want to gain this heavenly kingdom. I want to experience you as the power of life, to give life to my mortal bodies. Yeah. May the Lord gain in all of us such a wonderful kingdom. And our goal is today is that we want to be able to stand on Mount Zion with the Lamb in that day when he comes. Amen. To be among the 144,000. Amen. Yeah, may the Lord help us all to reach this goal. Right? And we have a wonderful king and a high priest. He is uniquely qualified to help us all. Amen. We are not alone. We're not doing this on our own efforts. We have the King. He is the captain of our salvation. Amen. He will bring us all into glory as his word promised. So may the Lord gain such a wonderful kingdom here on earth today. Amen. Amen.